بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أنبياء الله جميعا وعلى سيدهم وخاتمهم حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لا إكراه في الدين، قد تبين الرشد من الغي، فمن يكفر بالطاغوت ويؤمن بالله فقد استمسك بالعروة الوثقى لا انفصام لها والله سميع عليم. الله ولي الذين آمنوا يخرجهم من الظلمات إلى النور، والذين كفروا أولياؤهم الطاغوت يخرجونهم من النور إلى الظلمات أولئك أصحاب النار هم فيها خالدون. صدق الله العلي العظيم.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
One of the very sensitive and controversial subjects within the Muslim community is the issue of freedom of religion in Islam. Does Islam believe in freedom of religion for others, for non-Muslims? Can non-Muslims, Jews, Christians, and others, practice their religion in a Muslim community, in a Muslim country, in a Muslim society under the Islamic law? Can they build synagogue, church, temple? Is freedom of religion for non-Muslims under Islam equal with the freedom of religion for Muslims? And many people ask, especially some Christians in this country and elsewhere, they ask, why Christians being persecuted, harassed, killed, their churches are burnt in Muslim countries? Why this is happening? What does Islam say about this? So these are several questions that I'd like to address and share them with you tonight, inshallah. In Islam, basically, my friends, followers of all religions and faiths and sects, they can enjoy the right to worship. To worship the way they like, to worship the one they believe in, to follow the religion they are convinced with, without harassment. They can enjoy the religious freedom or freedom of religion and freedom of worshiping in a very free environment. And no one has the right to harass them. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, he says, the one who kills a person who is under the covenant of the Muslims, mu'ahad. Mu'ahad comes from ahd. Ahd is covenant. Who is mu'ahad? Mu'ahad are those, the Jews and the Christians, who live under the protection of an Islamic state. They are mu'ahad. They are entered into an agreement, a covenant, ahd, with the Muslims. So the Islamic society, Muslim people, Islamic government has to protect them and protect their interests and provide them with the freedom of religion. If someone kills a non-Muslim who lives in a Muslim country, a Muslim society, a Muslim state, لَمْ يَجِدْ رِيحَ الْجَنَّةِ Prophet Muhammad says, that murderer, that killer, who killed someone who's a Christian or a Jew, under the protection of an Islamic state, may never smell the fragrance of paradise on the Day of Judgment. What does that tell you? It tells you a lot. That the blood, the life of a non-Muslim under the umbrella of Islam, in a Muslim community, in a Muslim society, in a Muslim country, like Sudan, like Nigeria, like Saudi Arabia, like any other countries. The sacred has a value, has an extra value, because they have entered into a covenant, ahd, with the Muslims. And the Muslims have a duty, moral, religious responsibility and duty to protect them, to safeguard them. They should never be harassed. They should never be, not only they should never be harassed, but they should enjoy full freedom of worshipping the way they like. That does not mean we agree with them. As I mentioned last night, when Allah says respect others, respect the non-Muslims, He's not telling you that they are right. No, they are wrong. They are wrong. But we have to respect them. We are not justifying their doctrine and their ideology and saying their religion is right. No, we are not saying that. We are not saying that. But we say, despite them not following Islam, still we have to protect them. There is no reason, no justification for us to harass them, to chase them, to persecute them, to demean them, even to disrespect them. There is no justification for that. We take a pride, the followers of Ahlul Bayt, we take a pride in something that Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salatu wasalam said. No other Khalifa, no other Muslim leader said this sentence, except Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wasalam. And Imam Ali said it because he's the student of the Prophet. So he learned this sentence from his mentor, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad al-Qalim.
When he strongly and harshly reprimanded one of his governors who worked for him, the governor of Basra, famous man. He was a good man, but sometimes even the good people, they do mistakes. He said to him, if you persecute this person who is a Christian as if you have hurt me, as if you have persecuted me, Ali ibn Abi Talib myself. Man adha injiliyan faqad adhan. Whoever hurts a Christian for no reason, as if he's hurting the caliph, the leader of the Muslim ummah, and that is Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wasalam. That's very serious. It means that, imagine today if Obama says, if anyone hurts a Muslim in America as if he is hurting President Obama, you will say, wow, look at this just man, noble man. See how Muslims are enjoying respect and freedom in this country? This is exactly what Imam Ali said 1400 years ago. 1400 years ago. So even if we disagree with them, we have to respect them. Moreover, people of book, people of ahd, covenant, mu'ahadeen, they can enjoy their own judiciary system within the Islamic state, Islamic country. Meaning that they can say, I don't want to go to a Muslim judge. I'm a Christian, I want to go to a Christian judge, a Jewish judge. They have the right. They have the right to establish their own court system, judiciary system, and they go to them. They don't go to a Muslim court. They have the right. And you can find this nowhere. You can find this nowhere. Nowhere you can find a group, religious group, who says, I want to have my own judiciary system. They tell them, no, you can't. You are part of this nation, you go to the secular court. But Islam says, if the Jews, the Christians, who live under the ahd, the covenant of an Islamic state, whatever it is, whatever this Islamic state is, whether it's in Asia, Africa, North America, South America, in the ocean, if they live under the protection of an Islamic state, they have the right to ask for their own judiciary system. So the judge is appointed from among them. This is how Islam acknowledges their rights. Also, they can build places of worship for them. If they need to build a temple, a church, a synagogue in this area, in that area, they have the right. They have the right to do so. And their places of worship is defended and respected by a Muslim society. How many of you know, my friends, that if you are passing by a church and it is time for Salat, and there is no mosque in the area, but there is a church, you may go and do your prayers inside the church as a substitute to the mosque. Although in the church there is a cross, and we don't believe in the cross, but Islam says because this is a place that was erected and established to worship God. The intention was to worship God. You may do your salat inside this place. Mustahab for you. Not in the street, not in the mall, not in the street or in the park. But you may go to the church and establish your salat. That also tells you that these places of worship, although we disagree with their worshipping, we disagree with that, but it is respected. It is also respected, and the good example of that, of the example of our Nabi, our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he allowed the Christians of Najran to establish their worshipping, conduct their prayers inside his own mosque. He allowed them to pray the way they like inside his own mosque. Now you may ask me sometimes that if this is the case, why do we see countries do not allow a church to be established like Saudi Arabia? Why do we see countries like Nigeria where churches are being burned? In Sudan where churches are being burned? In Iraq and Syria where churches are being bombed? And Christians are being driven out of their land. They've been in that land for thousands of years before Muslims. But they drive them out. They massacre them. They kill them. They take their women as prisoners of war, captives. They sell them in the market. Why do we see these things? In Egypt also. Many Coptics, Egypt and Cairo and other places, their churches were attacked. Why do we see these things? This is not Islam. The simple answer, this is not condoned by Islam. It is rather condemned by Islam. These atrocities, this disrespect against the Christians anywhere in any Islamic society is strongly condemned by the Holy Quran, by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But don't forget that also when we cite negative examples, also beside it we have to cite positive examples. In some Arab countries, like Lebanon, the Christians, they enjoy full respect and full freedom of religion and worship. And they are considered equal in the eyes of the law. They are equals with Muslims and non-Muslims. And they have their full freedom. Not only that, they enjoy Muslims and Christians, they enjoy the best type of relationship. Interfaith relationship and cooperation and respect. Do you know that during the Ashura ceremony all over in Lebanon, in Beirut, in the north and the south, during the nights of Ashura, many priests and pastors, they come from Christian churches and they participate in the majalis of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And they recite poetry for Ahlul Bayt and Imam Hussein. And they respect Imam Hussein. And many of their authors, they wrote books, Christian author, books about Imam Ali, about Imam Hussein, about Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Also Christians and Jews and Zoroastrians in Iran, they enjoy full freedom. They have their own temples, churches, synagogues. It's protected. They have members in the Congress, in the Parliament. So we have two types of countries. Countries like Saudi Arabia, who does not respect even Muslims. Shia Muslims have no rights in Saudi Arabia, let alone Christians. You know that Shia Muslims, they don't enjoy their rights? They are not even considered full citizens in that country. They don't even acknowledge them. The Shias in Saudi Arabia, they've been fighting for hundreds of years just to be acknowledged and accepted by the government, and they don't accept them. 25% of the population of that country are Shia Muslims. 25%. No single minister in the cabinet. No single minister. So this is not Islam. Definitely this is not the manner of the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Because there is a lot of human rights violations in Muslim countries. In Muslim countries who claim, especially those, the more that country claims that our dastur and our constitution is Quran, the more they violate human rights. Believe me. When you ask them, what is your constitution? He says, we don't need constitution. The Quran is our constitution. Okay, if the Quran is your constitution, then abide by the Quran, respect the Quran. The Quran says, inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. Respect the human beings. Respect your citizens. Don't discriminate. Don't use hate language against people who lived in that land for thousands of years. Their ancestors were before you in that land. Don't treat them like foreigners, aliens. Respect them, respect their rights. Now, one question is left here. Many people ask, then if people have a freedom within Islam to practice their religion, to establish a church, to read the Bible, to have their judiciary system, why you guys, the Muslims, you punish someone who says, I don't want to be a Muslim, irtidat. Someone who reverts back from Islam. Let's say someone now, he's Muslim, he's been Muslim, born in a Muslim family. One day he says, I don't want to be a Muslim. Why do you kill him? Where's freedom of religion? Where's the freedom of choice? He doesn't want to be a Muslim. And God says in the Quran, لا إكراه في الدين. We do not coerce, we do not impose religion on you. We don't force someone to be a Muslim or non-Muslim. It's left for us. I am answering according to the school of Ahlul Bayt. I don't care about others. Other madahibs, you know, it's too complicated for me even to understand them. Yeah. So I answer according to the school of Ahlul Bayt, the Shia of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Amir al-Mu'mineen. Someone does not want to be a Muslim, he has been born Muslim, but now does not want to be a Muslim anymore. If he or she does that privately, nobody is going to tell him anything. And I myself, I'm going to tell him, congratulations, alhamdulillah, you left Islam. Believe me, because we need to decrease the number of Muslims. We have too much Muslims. Believe me. So if someone wants to leave Islam, I'll be very happy. He would leave some room for us here. If he does that privately, there is no liability, no persecution, no punishment, nobody is going to tell him anything. But if he wants to declare that, then there is a punishment. Why? You may ask why. He's free. He wants to come on the radio, on television, in the press, in the marketplace, And he wants to stand and say, I'm not Muslim anymore. I'm a Christian. I'm a Jew. I'm a Hindu. I'm an atheist. Why? What do you want from him? Leave him alone. We say, yes, we leave him alone. However, if he wants to declare that, to hurt Islam, to demean Islam, if he wants to politicize this, because many of those who reverted, they reverted to hurt Islam. For political ends, for political means, not for spiritual means, believe me, not for religious means, for political means. So if he wants to agitate, and that agitation leads into the destabilizing of the Muslim community, Muslim society, and then sometimes it leads into mutiny, sometimes into war, sometimes into hate, crimes, then this is the problem. Otherwise, if he or she wants to do that peacefully, they are okay. Nobody's going to go after them. And the proof is, of what I am saying is right, is now we have in many Muslim countries hundreds of thousands of atheists. Believe me, atheists. Nobody chases them. Nobody says anything. In Muslim countries, I don't want to mention names of these Muslim countries. In Muslim countries, we have many people who are atheists. Not only they don't believe in Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they don't believe in God. They don't believe in God. And nobody goes after them. Leave them alone. But then when it becomes a tool to attack Islam, this is the problem. This is the problem. And this is unacceptable in any culture. If he starts working against Islam, and attacking Islam and declaring war against Islam, then there is a problem here. Otherwise, no one is going to tell them anything. Then they will pose a danger on the national security. And go and ask today, if someone is deemed as a danger on the national security of the United States of America, would they just set him free? They put him behind bars. They tell him, you may criticize, but when you are a danger against the national security of our country, no more freedom. You are not free anymore. Because you are dangerous here. You destroy the fabric of the society. This is why irtidad is punished, not because someone decided to leave Islam. Good luck. Let them leave Islam. لا إكراه في الدين. Allah says in the Quran, فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ. Whoever loves to accept me, let it be. Whoever wants to reject me, yakfur, let it be. They will stand before me tomorrow. They will stand before me. In this life, they are free. But I am Malik Yawm al-Din there. I will hold them accountable there. But in this life, if they consider to be dangerous on their societies, then in that case they're going to be detained because they considered danger to their societies. The last point, my friends, many people ask that why if someone wants to marry a lady and the lady is non-Muslim, why should she accept Islam? Let her be Christian or a Jew. Why do you ask her to convert to Islam? We ask her to convert to Islam because today they love each other, they are only two. Tomorrow they're going to be how many? Three, four, five. And then the parents are going to disagree. The father says, I want her to come to the mosque. The mother says, no mosque. I want her to come to the church. And this is what happens. Even if they promise in the beginning, no, we leave them free, whatever they want to choose, church, mosque, synagogue, nightclub, whatever, you know. But that's not true. Believe me, it's not true. Because when people love each other, they have romantic love, they give concessions. They start agreeing. saying yes, 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 yes. As soon as they tie the knot, they get married, they start saying no, 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 no. That's the case. Therefore, Islam says, listen, we want to set the record straight from the beginning. We don't want any points that is going to create a problem to hurt your marriage. Islam says marriage is sacred. So work hard to make this marriage secure from the beginning. You have to be on the same page. When it comes to religion, you have to be on the same page. When it comes to finance, you have to be on the same page. When it comes to social matters, when it comes to anything, you have to be on the same page. Because if you don't decide now, tomorrow you're going to have a problem. Not only regarding your children. I have seen this. It hurts me when I even remember this. That we had a Sunni married a Shia. And then they agreed in the beginning that they're going to be free, leave each other free. They are not going to interrupt each other's religion, work, life. But later on, a few months after marriage, he's asking her not to go to her mosque. Not only you should not go to your Shia mosque, you have to come to my mosque. And when you ask him why, he says, no, no, I'm okay with her mosque. But this is my grandmother is telling me. Allahu Akbar. He listens to his grandmother. He never respects his grandmother or anything, but when it comes to this issue, sectarianism, then his grandmother is right and he's following his grandmother. And then that led into divorce, my friends. Into divorce, imagine. The fight over whether she can go to a Shia mosque or not. It led into the collapse of the family. Because some of them are narrow-minded, ahmaq. Some of them are ahmaq. They don't have big heart. So not all people have big heart, my friends. Not all people are open-minded to others. Not all people respect others. You have to be careful. You have to be careful. You have to open your eyes. And from the beginning of marriage, you have to be on the same page. You have to say, listen, I don't have time to argue with you after marriage, whether masjid or church or this tradition or that madhab. Here, let's see, if we share these values together, we will tie the knot. If not, then inshallah Allah find a good substitute for it. So remember, my friends, remember, you have to be on the same page. Islam believes, we the Muslims, we acknowledge Jesus, we have no problem with him. Have you seen any Muslim disrespecting Jesus? 59 times he's mentioned in my book. 59 times. Musa, 164 times. Musa. We respect the Bible, we respect the Torah. Allah says Torah has nur and guidance. In my book, speaks highly of the Torah, highly of the Bible, highly of Jesus. Yusuf is mentioned, has a chapter. Mary has a chapter. Yunus has a... Half of the Quran is about Anbiya Bani Israel. Half of the Quran. Read Surah Al-Baqarah. The main theme of Surah Al-Baqarah are Bani Israel. So we don't disrespect others. We include them in our life. Our children's name are Yusuf and Dawood and Yaqub and Ishaq and whatever. We have no discrimination. We don't see our blood better than others' blood. We don't see this. We always believe inna akramakum 'inda Allahi atqakum. People are equal. That's the beauty of Islam. So we are open to others. Sometimes, not all of them, some of them are not open to Islam. They don't believe in Muhammad. They don't believe in Quran. They don't believe in these books. This is why Islam says, if you want to marry a person from Ahlul Kitab, it is better for you that you are on the same page and he or she would convert to Islam. And believe me, when they convert to Islam, they become better than born Muslims. Much better. They take Islam serious and they become good teachers and good role models in Islam.
الحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم. اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات. تابع اللهم بيننا وبينهم بالخيرات. اللهم وحد كلمة المسلمين على الخير والبر والصلاح والتقوى. يا أرحم الراحمين تقبل منا صلاتنا وصيامنا وطاعتنا وعبادتنا وقرآننا ودعاءنا في هذا الشهر العظيم، واجعلنا من عتقائك من النار يا أرحم الراحمين. واغفر لنا ذنوبنا وتقبل أعمالنا وأدخلنا الجنة، وعجل في فرج سيدنا ومولانا صاحب العصر والزمان. Two people are in the hospital with important critical treatment. So please let's remember them. They are people who attend this masjid. A man and a lady, both of them are in the hospital. Please let's recite this dua for them. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء. 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 يا الله من على مرضانا بالشفاء والعافية، المريض المنظور والمريضة المنظورة. اللهم ألبسهما ثوب الصحة والعافية، وعجل في فرج سيدنا ومولانا صاحب العصر والزمان، وإلى أرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات والشهداء ثواب الفاتحة مع الصلاة على محمد وآل محمد.